Money in markets, interest rates have started to move up. We saw that happen in January and February. You've heard me say that as of February, the six-month report performance on U.S. Treasury long bond funds was -7.6%. We know what that inspired. So this is a real warning bell that rings off through the central banks and the sovereign government treasuries. So wouldn't surprise me if that's part of what triggered the G7 announcement that it was going after the tax havens. But we've seen in the last week bonds, bond funds, real estate start to trade down. The MLP starts to trade down. Again, that always sends warning bells through the economy. We have the Fed intimating that they're going to stop doing QE. They're essentially dancing between inflation and deflation, so the notion that they might stop QE would help to soften the pressure on interest rates at the same time. How in the world are they going to do that? Interestingly enough, we see a big announcement this week that they're planning on reconfiguring, merging Fannie and Freddie and essentially making those organizations much smaller. We'll see where it really happens. The Fed has been buying $85 billion a month of mortgage-backed securities. My guess is what they're doing is they're pulling in from the bank and Freddie and Fannie from those balance sheets a lot of the fraudulent paper. And this is a real signal that the financial coup d'etat cleanup is coming to a close. Not unrelated to that is precious metals, which have continued to trade sideways. It seems likely to me that we're going to get more pressure downward before we find a bottom, but we haven't found a bottom yet. Every sign says that gold and silver continue to trade in a long-term primary trend. The gapping between the paper market and the physical market continues to be extraordinary. This last week, we saw some of the gold ETFs trading at discounts of anywhere from 1% to 3%, and yet we're watching premiums, for example, in 90% silver, at 25% or more, which is unheard of historically. In my experience, 90% silver is about 2 or 3%. So you're watching explosive premiums in the physical market and discounts in the paper market. And of course, prices way, way down. I'll be talking more about precious metals and Ask Catherine. Another very interesting story. Tom Donilon is leaving as National Security Advisor. Susan Rice is coming in. For the president, this has to be a big change. Someone the president cannot trust is leaving. Someone he probably can trust is going to come in. It's certainly going to make a difference to him. He should feel the pressure. His presidency is under a lot of pressure. I put up a link to Fred Barnes's new editorial, The Decline of the Obama Presidency. You read everybody announcing that the presidency is in real trouble, and you wonder, you know, where were they in October? It was a very different spin. And, of course, what you're just watching is spin. Bilderberger meeting is going on this week. A lot of Bilderberger websites that will cover it. There's a list of public topics and participants that's linked on the blog. The Bilderbergers are now making more of an effort to control the publicity by making all those things public instead of having them leaked. A hot topic is going to be unemployment. I suspect an unannounced hot topic is going to be the competing consideration of a GC roundup of the tax havens and the targeting of the tax havens versus the pushback for a carbon tax. The question is whose capital is going to get harvested next. One solution, of course, is to bring out lots more new technology. The problem is that may not be good for employment. So there are all sorts of double binds, especially when you centralize the economy as much as they have. An email from Europe from a great ally high up in the food business after all the announcements that says Europe has rejected GMO food, a reminder that, of course, Europe has integrated GMO animal feed throughout the food supply. So when you're eating meat in Europe, you're getting your fair share of GMOs anyway. And that's a good thing to remember. The GMOs have literally gotten a much bigger market share of the animal feed market and done it very quietly because it's one step removed. Also in Europe, the new Bank of England chief is coming in July. He's expected to liberalize monetary policy. Big question is, will the Bank of England pick up on the QE slack as the United States is intimating that they're going to slow down? And questions for James as to whether the Japanese Central Bank is going to slow down. I posted a link up to another story I really want to highlight tonight. and that is the EU tariff on Chinese solar panels and some other Chinese products. This is a very important story, not just because we're watching currency wars go on globally, and of course the question is, will they break out into a full-blown trade war as we keep seeing softening in the economy? This one has an additional twist. I put up a story last week on the blog about the fact that solar is now estimated to have reached an economic tipping point against coal, where the price of solar is becoming more economic than coal. Now, that's a big shift out of potentially out of fossil fuels, out of the traditional model, and into renewable. And one of the reasons that has happened is China has been very instrumental in bringing down the manufacturing cost of solar. And so what you're seeing played out in the national sovereignty context is the real competition about whether or not renewable energy is going to be allowed to eat into the fossil fuel market. And it's an important story because the price of energy, and right now the big debates are coal versus natural gas versus solar, is having a very important part of the play in contributing to a very competitive U.S. cost of energy and control of energy, and that's a key issue in support of the dollar as the reserve currency. So keep an eye on that, because solar is going to start making inroads, and the fossil fuel ox is about to get gored. Another important announcement this week, we see AIG and GM completing their comeback by being added to the S&P stock index. It's a very interesting moment to watch. It's sort of one of the ends of the bailout. It's proof that massive government support can resuscitate just about anyone and anything. If you take a look at what was done to refurbish, protect, grow, support AIG, and what was done to support the American car makers, including the Department of Justice targeting the Japanese car makers, it's quite extraordinary. It's a government intervention across the overt and covert, and massive, massive financial addition. So if anybody from AIG and General Motors ever starts talking about free markets, I just want you to leave the stadium laughing. Turkey, Syria, U.S., and Russia, the dance goes on in the Middle East. We saw the Turkish stock market take quite a dive as a result of riots. It's interesting to contemplate how much a syndicate could make by helping to finance such unrest and picking up stocks cheaply and equity positions cheaply. Turkey's very high on many lists as a desirable long-term investment. And as we've spoken before, Syria is absolutely a target if you're going to cut off the leakage in the central banking warfare model. A story this week about NSA collecting Verizon phone records. We did a great interview this week. It'll be posted next week with Rainey Reitman, who's the head of activism at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Internet and digital rights continue to grow as a critical issue. I can't underscore it enough. We're all becoming dependent on the internet for everything from family to civic activity to all sorts of networking, communication, our enterprises. The more we become dependent, the more fun a variety of private companies and governments can have by changing the rules behind the scene. It can have a dramatic economic impact. And so this issue of internet and digital rights is just going to get more important. So take a look at that interview next week. It's a good one. The Supreme Court, speaking of no privacy, ruled on Monday that police can take DNA samples from people under arrest in the hope of tying them to unrelated crimes. Again, the DNA testing is going to have fun. The Bradley Manning trial is going on. I posted a link to a great website, Freedom of Press Foundation, which is raising money for transcripts to be provided by the public at the trial, believe it or not. It has been ruled that the that court-prepared transcripts are not available publicly, and that's a very big problem for people who, reporters who want to cover the trial. So take a look at that. If there was ever a whistleblower who deserves our support, in my opinion, it's Bradley Manning. I posted a quick summary of one of my favorite books. I've talked about it before. political ponerology. For those of you who don't have time to read the book, it's one of the things I encourage you to do. It's a book about how to grapple with the notion that we live in a society run by psychopaths, and the fact that the mentality that is governing this is very, very different than the mentality that you or I practice or understand. Continuing attacks on Obama and Holder, pretty much killing tax reform and in support of doing something in the tax havens. But as I described last week, the push has gotten mollified. There's a lot of nuts and bolts to do in that operation. They have the team out at the IRS so they can proceed with the nuts and bolts. Finally, on the currency wars, we see Brazil scrapping its foreign investment tax as its currency hits a four-year low. That's a very big development, and it tells you a signal that the foreign debt market is feeling the impact of the slowing of the economy and the higher interest rates.